Yep.
Every single one.
Well, I mean, let's cross that bridge.
Why do I have to do the intro?
From now on, every week, I'm going to ask you to do the intro. Oh, okay. I just feel like you're better at it.
I don't think I am. All right. Welcome, everyone, to After the Rose.
You are back. We get so wooden when we do it.
I know, it's true. Okay, welcome, everyone, to After the Rose podcast. It's me, Megan Cruz.
And me, Molly H.
We are back in my attic garret.
Wait, are we just, is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, alright. Let me get my game face on.
I know, get with it.
I thought we were doing
I know, I like to keep you unsteady. It's like a bad boss. I like to keep you, like, I'm just always breaking a leg of yours, you know,
well,
keep you off the...
holy shit, Megan, this episode, I'm, like, still upset. I know.
You had some real feels about it. Like, I got some texts from you while we were watching it in different places. I was watching it with some friends who sort of agreed to placate me, I guess. And I was telling Molly, I had a real emotional reaction. Like, it was really hard for me because they didn't want to watch. And I kept...
They were not Bachelor Nation.
They were not Bachelor Nation. And, you know, later, like, they got high and they... you know, then they enjoyed it, of course.
It only takes, like, 15 minutes to, if you just, like, lighten up and
and I think what it is this media elitism that I really hate, where people are like, I can't even deign to find this amusing because it's so ridiculous.
I can't tell you how many people on the internet, when I tell them that I'm doing this, are like, I would never watch this show. It's like, oh, what do you do that's so fucking cool and great?
I know. I don't know. I just hate, like,
House of Cards.
Yeah,
like, you think you're smart because you
like,
watch that shit.
Yeah, intelligentsia elitism, where you're just like, oh yeah, I'm way too high above this lowbrow thing. And so I had a total like baby breakdown where it's all fine in person, but I was like, man, like no one will like buy into my show, and they said we could watch it, and now they're making fun of me, and I'm having to defend myself, and by defending myself, I look stupid. And then, you know, like, little did I know that all you have to do is get people high, and then they'll be like, oh, Kayla, don't do it, you know, so it ended up fine, but I was really, I was really frustrated.
I mean, in stark contrast to that, first, I was a little upset that I had to watch the show by myself because I was on a pet sit in Queen Anne's. Yeah.
Oh, you were all by yourself.
I was all by myself. That. Yeah, I was with two pugs, one tan, one black.
What are their names? Nick and Sean.
Yep.
That would be the principal. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted
they
to
changed,
be so
they changed the pugs' names for every season. No, and at first I was sad to be watching it by myself, but then once I started watching the episode, I was so relieved that I was by myself because I was so taken in by the Ben H. Caitlin romance at the top. I was like enjoying it in this way, like way too much. Like I probably had like a funny smile on my face. I was like, I do believe in love.
You actually sent me a text that you were like, when things went down the way they did, you sent me a text that was like, it's over. I don't believe in love anymore.
And it was true. Not
like the way that we joke about not believing in love anymore. It was like, Molly might really be done now. She might have just cashed in her chips.
It wasn't a fucking joke. During that rose ceremony, we're way jumping ahead, but I mean, like, I felt during that rose ceremony when she did not give Ben H. the rose, like, it felt like how I felt when I was watching that last play in the Super Bowl and the Seahawks threw for the touchdown. This was supposed to be the last fucking play until Super Bowl champions, the Seattle Seahawks, and instead
who are they sporting against?
The Patriots.
The Patriots are the Deflategate people.
Yeah, the Deflategate
people.
So
they beat the Packers and made the Packer fans feel that way, and then they lost to the Patriots that way. It was way worse for the Seahawks, I guess.
Oh, God. It was just, like, so devastating. Like, it was just this feeling of, like, you're seconds away from elation, and then, no.
Did you know that Marshawn Lynch... That Marshawn Lynch absorbed his twin? That was what my Uber driver told me the other day. He was like, Marshawn Lynch, like, when he was a baby, he had a twin, and then he absorbed it, and the doctor told his mother he would have super strength.
Wow.
And then also, he's a Taurus.
The Taurus part I can buy. I'll have to ask Tim
about
confirmation.
Absorbing his twin.
I mean, like, are we really, like, is that, that's not real, right? I mean, that's not, like, a thing.
I don't think so, but I liked him. I but it's like, idiot. Oh, like you not ate really, the twin. Look, maybe that's why I have such powerful feelings. It's like I absorb someone else's heart.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I had a twin too, and now I have the feelings of two people, which is why I cry when other people try to mock The Bachelorette or talk to me.
Interesting, if true. Oh God.
Anyway, so how is okay? So that was my otherwise my week. Generally, we're back in Seattle in my roastingly hot attic.
Yeah, we're doing this for you.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm on another pet sit. It's just like a never-ending horror show. Tim, like, I dropped him off at the bar so that we could do this. I don't know.
To be fair, when you used to do the pet sits, it was like our glory days. Just that one.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about my job. Okay. Sorry. It's awful. It's, I don't know. So the show started this week. Where we left off with the Nick and Sean fight, like Sean came into Nick's hotel room and
right, and they started. I mean, they sort of like had it out. I don't even honestly don't even remember that much of what was said
because they're both just like
kicking
just,
around in the dirt.
There's
you know?
Nothing there. Like Sean is just like, Caitlin doesn't know what a jerk you are, how fake you are, blah, blah, blah. But he has no, like, there's no real evidence. Like, there's no, right. Like, what is it about Nick that
he's
is
doing
so
a thing like,
bad,
was it Josh, the welder?
Yeah.
Like, he's sort of doing that same thing, which is obviously how all of them feel. And, like, I over-identify
like
with
too.
That feeling where I totally identify with it. Like, there are a few people in my, like, life or auxiliary life right now where it's like, I know you're evil, and I see it in small ways, but, like, when pressed, I can't lay down the cold, hard facts, and I get it, but it makes them look silly.
Well, the one thing that Nick does do that I think is really just despicable and annoying is that he keeps bringing up this Eskimo Brothers thing about Sean, like, over and over, where he's trying to, like, plant it in, like, he's saying it on air constantly of like, oh, well, you said that you fucked two country singers at the same night. Like, he just keeps saying that
was
because
country
he's...
country singers?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. I assumed that was, like, your favorite part of it.
It should have been. I'm telling you, I was deep in a K-hole of sadness at that point, feeling like no one understood me.
So. Yeah, well, he keeps bringing it up, and he's just trying to, like,
no, I definitely have heard...
He's a fucking tattletale, yeah. And it's annoying.
He's a whiny little brat, and I feel like that is going to... I want to see him get really... I want Caitlin to piss him off, and I want her to see... I mean, this is what I said before. I want her to see his lack of adult coping skills or ability to remain calm, you know?
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll get to our predictions at the end.
All right.
Man. So after that, I mean, there's no real resolution. It's just like, oh, we hate each other. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so Caitlin's on her date with Ben H, and they're in the idyllic Ireland countryside, and their feet, they get on a couple of fucking horses. Like, this is such a bachelor date.
Yeah, he drew the one, like, real legit bachelor
that was the only
date. Sure.
That, are you was into there, horses? Like, would you do that date?
Oh, I thought you were asking me. Have you ever been into horses? You are.
Yeah, I used to, there was a horse ranch near my house, and I've ridden a horse probably, like, 10, 15 times in my life, weirdly. I don't know why.
Yeah. I used to take lessons.
Yeah, I took a couple lessons, but mostly I just, like...
But it was sad because I was like, we didn't really have the money for the lessons, so I wore galoshes that got stuck in the stirrups and I couldn't get out. And I just posted around all the time. They would never let me gallop. And
yeah.
And then my brother came to try to take a lesson once, and he immediately got bugged off and got a concussion. Like, it was just the saddest, you know?
my brother came to take, came to Montana for my thesis reading, and we went on, me and him and his girlfriend went on, like, a horse trip in Montana, and, like, my brother was on the horse, and then, like, the saddle, like, started to, like, just, like, tip
oh,
over,
yeah.
And he just, like, you can watch my brother's face, like, him trying to be calm, and he's just, like, droop, and he just, like, fell off. The fucking horse.
Oh my god. I'm so excited to go to Montana in September.
Yeah, I was just there. It was great.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
Anyway, so they're on the most romantic date ever.
They're just having a great time. It's picture perfect. Matching sweaters.
Oh god, the sweaters. Every time they would get together, I'd be like, look at those sweaters making love. Like, I coveted that scene for the sweaters. Caitlin, both of them.
Doesn't want love. She wants bullshit. I'm just,
I don't know. She just doesn't want... It's clear to me that she doesn't feel that much for Ben H.
But it seemed like the show was really fucking lying to us, and I should have seen through it, and I did, but I don't know. I had hope.
Would this face lie? Chris Harrison's picture on the back holding of the up perfect the letter. Look at his sparkly eyes.
Those perfect teeth. I think that Chris Harrison is, like, one of those examples of men who have been, not corrupted by Hollywood, but, like, they've taken in that message that, like, men have to be, like, thin as well. Like, when he wears his suit, it just looks like there's not an ounce of fat on his body. Like, he's like, I'm on TV, I have to be thin. Like, like, they're so, like, men are smaller than me. Like,
I'm just really... I feel the same way. I'm just, like... I'm confused about him and if he's really here for the right reasons, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What would be the wrong reasons?
Well, I guess, like, either he is so invested that he truly believes what he's doing, or he so completely lives the lie that, I don't know. It's just like, is it a performance? Is it real?
I think the fact that he wrote that book... that romance novel is a testament to his earnestness.
Is he married? Do we know anything about him?
Oh, yeah, he's married.
What's his wife look like?
I don't know what his wife looks like. I think that he's married with kids, and he has been for, like, the whole tenor of the show.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, that makes sense. It puts him in a safe
zone. Yeah, because every now and then I saw somebody tweet, like, Chris Harrison should be the next Bachelor, and it's like, no. Like, do your fucking research. I already Googled whether he was married. Duh. God, these people
got really emotional
just
right
saying
there.
Shit.
Really emotional.
I have a Twitter story to tell you later, but right now,
okay. So they're on the date, like they end up going to the fantasy suite, and my favorite part was like when they were talking about, you know, like they're falling in love and they're on this date, and they just pan to like a baby cow licking its calf, like the circle of life.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's young love, and then you see like this rough cow tongue just like dressing down a baby cow, and you're like, oh, God.
There was a TV moment on that day that infuriated me. Like, they're trying to feed these donkeys, but, like, the donkeys are, like, following them pretty aggressively, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they're just like, ah, just drop the bucket and run. So they drop this blue bucket in the field, and they take off, and I was just like, go pick up that bucket. Like, you just left that bucket there. Producers are going to come along and pick up after your ass, like, on a real date that's not being, like, you know, filmed. You have to pick up your own bucket. It just made me mad. It just made me mad that they just left that bucket there. And they had, like, huge chunks of meat on their plates that just, like, went cold all day. That might have been Sean's date, but either way.
I like that moment when, like, Sean visited Caitlin and she was, like, eating some chips or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know that she was, like, at home. She's, like, finally.
Yeah, yeah. She, like, didn't look perfect.
Yeah.
Like, she looked pretty good, but, like, her hair was a little fucked up. Like, yeah, that was a nice moment.
But you loved Ben H.
I really did. There was something about the way that they were interacting on that, like, in the fantasy suite before they, like, you know, go in and shut the door. Like, I think he's so cute and, like, I don't know. I find him strong and he doesn't bring this drama with him that these other guys do. Like, he's too perfect. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that he will be the next Bachelor, and I'll be happy that he didn't get chosen, but...
I think it's, like, in my mind, he is... Yes, he is perfect on paper, but he has nary a spark, you know? Like, I don't see a spark between them. I don't think Caitlin is the woman for him. Like, I think he needs someone a little more vanilla and a little more bland.
I think that he deserves someone better than Caitlin.
Yeah, I mean, better in what respect?
Well, Caitlin really let me down this week. Let's just say that.
Like, I still like her.
When she didn't give Ben H a rose, I tweeted, Caitlin, you dumb bitch.
Oh.
And then after, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I was just upset. Like,
I don't know. I just don't think they're well matched for each other. Like, I think Ben H wants to go to Honduras and play with orphans and be,
You're right. He's really, like, I don't know.
He is a little bit porridge-mouthed, you know? Like, a little bit porridge.
I was frustrated with the show for Caitlin, the way her voiceover, she was saying things like, I didn't expect to fall in love with Ben H. I feel like I'm falling in love with him. I think you'd make, like, a perfect husband. Like, our life would be so fun.
But she started using all the Ben Z buzzwords of, like, so sweet, teddy bear, would make a really good husband. And, like, I think that there's something about the phrase, would make a really good husband, that spells your death sentence.
It sure does. I don't think they ever say that. The way that she says it about Nick sounds much more convincing when she's like, this.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's the thing is, like, she said at some point about Nick that she's not sure she can see the future, but she loves right now. And that's why I wish they could, like, deep dive into that. Like, I wish that you could ask some kind of open-ended question and be like,
yeah,
why can't you see the future, Caitlin?
It's almost like dating for a month on TV isn't enough time to decide
whether you're gonna marry a person. Molly, that's crazy. That's totally enough time. It's totally enough.
You go on, like, 3 or 4 very structured, supervised dates, in prison.
I don't mean to, I know that I'm the tangential one, but whatever happened to that show that we, like, started to watch where they put people, like, on an island and take away their phones and they've never met in person?
Oh, Love Prison?
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
I think it went for a season, and I think that maybe the producers realized that it was not as interesting as it looked on paper. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, yeah, so the show, the two people that are, they're, like, online dating, and then they go to, like, the Love Prison. The thing about it that I think wasn't that cool was that they stripped them of all, like, media, so they had, like, no internet, no TV, no music, like, so they're just, like, trapped in this house, like, on an island. They have, like, 1 hour of yard time every day. It's like, like, why does it have to be a love prison? Like, I don't think that that's necessary.
Yeah, just being on the island together and, like, not being able to,
like, I get, like, not having, like, the internet and, like, TV, like, distractions, but I mean, like, give them a fucking radio, like, give them, like, something.
Let them Twitter.
Yeah, let them do things that make them comfortable. I think the idea was that they were supposed to be, you know, stripped down so that it was just them, you know, but that's, no couple ever has to do that, you know, it's like on Naked and Afraid, like, that,
I've never seen that, should I see it?
I don't think there's enough romance intrigue for you, it's mostly just about surviving, there is interpersonal conflict.
Speaking of, I just need to say right now, I need to shout out to Bachelor Nation that I have been triumphant. Because for the first time in my life, I provided Molly with a media experience that she had not heretofore heard of, which was...
That's not true. Oh. I mean, I've heard of it. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to... I just completely...
I thought I told you about it.
Oh, maybe. Well, yeah, okay. I heard about it because you told me about it last
Kristen
week.
Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to talk about the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Oh, no. I was talking about how I informed you about the Lifetime movie.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry, man. You should have seen her face. Like, seriously. Also, she was, like, looking down and looked all earnest when she was talking about it. Like, she was like, I just want to say that, like, I did something. And I was just like, no, you didn't.
It just made me so proud because you'll say, like, a very basic... basic reference to something, you'll be like, oh yeah,
this thing.
On Star Wars, and I'll be like, you mean Star Trek with Princess Leia? And you'll be like, you got it all wrong, you know, like, I probably had that one wrong, like,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you did.
And so I was really excited. I have only watched the first half of
I'll tell them what it is.
Oh, it's a Lifetime movie with is it Kristen or Kirsten? Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell in a Lifetime movie that is actually put out by Element.
Deadly Adoption. I watched the whole thing.
I am dying to watch the whole thing. I only watched half. I fell asleep the first time. I fell asleep the second time. But, like, the joke is sort of, is in this. The joke is that there's no joke.
They're
right?
Playing it completely,
like,
straight.
You could watch it and not have any knowledge of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this identity question. Like, you could watch the movie as a Lifetime movie, and I have watched a ton of them, and it stands up,
you know? Really interesting about it, once you, like, make it past, like, 15 minutes, is that you completely, like, that joke is, like, no longer present in your heart and mind. You're just, like, watching them in the movie, and it's just, you know, a made-for-TV thriller movie. Like, yeah. It's cool. It's, like, interesting. I think that they probably just wanted to do it. Like, they were just like, this will be fun.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard is that the final, like, some kind of, the final dancing scene is where the, like, wall drops a little bit. Like, it's a little over the top or something.
I mean, if it were two other actors, I wouldn't be like, what? This is too silly. Like, yeah. it's just straight up a Lifetime movie.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's sort of like Will Ferrell. It's hard to, what's the weird conceit about it is that Will Ferrell is supposed to be like this man that like this super hot chick like is just obsessed with. So like she concocts this like elaborate thing to steal him away and like take his like baby, like his like 5-year-old child and like live with him forever, and it's just like dumpy Will Ferrell. Like he's like, I had sex with you one time on my book tour. Like he partied too hard on his book tour.
Hey.
And his Well no,
that happens.
Maybe for you. He writes like child development books. And like he's like partying too hard on his book tour. Like he's just getting all these fucking hot women on his book tour.
Yeah, I'm actually joking. My book tour, like, the quintessential moment on this, like, scrappy book tour was when I fell asleep before my laundry dried.
Uh-huh.
And I had to fill a suitcase with, like, sodden, dripping clothes.
Shut up!
And, like, I barely got it closed, and when it came off the carousel, it was, like, bulbous and bulging, and just there was, like, a trail of, like, water following it.
A dangerous dryer.
Adoption. A dangerous lack of dryer.
Yeah.
Alright, back to the show. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
You think Ben H is gonna be the new Bachelorette? I don't know. I'm not sure that I do, hopefully, but I think they might try to take somebody to fish from a previous season or something too.
They never do that.
Really?
I mean, not that I've seen. They might try to do something just a little different. Ben H is so the obvious choice that they might. I mean, it's yet to be seen whether they will do what they did this season and pick two and pit them against each other.
It seems really unfair to not do that. But at the same time, really, the Brit thing was not successful at all. All they've done is like, it's like a weird little addendum to please people, you know?
I feel like the you know, cultural consensus was that it made us uncomfortable and we didn't like it, so I don't think they'll do it again.
We just want one person to have a shot at love.
Yeah, but then again, like, it's only fair that they do it to the men, too, so stay tuned. Well,
it does, I mean, it flies in the face of the Bachelorette premise, right, which is that, like, it is sort of synchronicitous that you find the person that you're going to, your husband is in the room, because if your husband showed up for another girl, it taints that idea.
Yeah, yeah, and that's sort of happened this season, too. There were a lot of guys that were sort of, you know, lackluster, like, half-hearted in the beginning, because they wanted to be with Britt. So,
what if the dentist is just the next
nerd alert? Oh my god, I saw like a thing where it was like, who's gonna be the next Bachelor? And like, his picture was up there. Like, no, no fucking way. Come on, he can't even go on Bachelor in Paradise, nerd.
No, he can't.
Like, he'd wear like shorts and like his like legs would be all white and pasty because he like didn't wear shorts. He's like flopping knees. He's like, hi,
he'd be like, let's go. Maybe we can go snorkeling, see what we find out here. And everybody else is like, let's get wasted. Pizza party.
Oh,
it's
pizza party.
Anyway, so then
Caitlin has the perfect. Oh, so we've already established, like, yeah, rose ceremony. Do you want to talk about the rose ceremony? Yeah, so, like, it's so dramatic. Caitlin is acting like, oh my god, I'm, like, so upset about making this decision.
Right.
Like, it's gonna blindside them. She, like, can't do it. She has to, like, go outside and cry first. And
how do you think they all cry on this? Do you think they, like, it's genuine crying? Do you think they...
Ben H., the way that his eyes welled up, it just seemed like he played it so perfectly that I feel like maybe he's a professional actor.
Yeah, I think it could be. Like, I guess
eyes welled up, but the tears never fell. It was like manly grief. It was like the opposite of Hamlet's unmanly grief, you know? He played it perfectly. He was just like, I really thought that we were going to be together. Like, I'm sorry that it's not me. Like, I'm going to miss you.
Maybe that was Caitlin's moment of thanking the Academy, you know? Like, maybe it was like that, where, I don't know, I just, the way that, I did not see him particularly... He did not seem sad. She did not seem sad. I wanted to be like, well, good call, guys. You parted ways on good terms. Like,
she was like, I'm really going to miss him. And then it seemed like she didn't give him another fucking thought. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. In the car on the way home, he was like, I'm really going to miss Caitlin. Like, he seriously couldn't remember her name.
Like, it's like, what do you think if she'd like seen it through to the end? Like, what? I don't know.
I think whoever like has the proposal at the end, it will be a mistake and it will be too soon. I don't think that means. It wasn't like, God, Sean and Catherine. It was just that's the only time I've ever really believed in it.
You really get stars in your eyes when you talk about Sean and Catherine.
It was so beautiful that that proposal. She just like, he was like, I love you so much, and she was just like, oh God, like I've been waiting to hear those words, you know, because he's not allowed to say that until at the end, and like he says, will you marry me? And she says yes, like immediately, and like she's all like out of breath and stuff, like and then they're still married, you know, they're still married, so I don't know.
Maybe having a baby on TV.
they've been practicing a lot. That's what Catherine likes to say. They've been practicing a lot for the baby.
Got it.
Fucking.
That's not what that means.
What?
I'm sure it just means taking prenatals.
Painting the guest room yellow in case it's a boy or neutral.
Prenatals are really great for your hair and nails.
You've heard.
Yeah, no, I take them for my hair now. Look how big my hair is these days. Actually, don't look at it today. It's not looking good today.
You look the same. I don't notice. Sorry. Am I autistic? Another chapter.
You do notice. The other day, I was, like, leaving the room. It was really sweet, and you were like, Megan, I'm just going to tell you. You know, you don't have any makeup on right now, but you looked very pretty for a while. Yeah. It was really sweet.
You did.
I thought about it. I've been going easier on the makeup.
It's true. She's got less makeup on today.
Well, that's because I went to the eye doctor, too. And all this time, the last few months, I've been like, my contacts, I must have an eye infection. My contacts are all weird. I can never see. Uh-huh. And then I was like, tell me about your eye makeup. And I was like, I like to... you know how Cleopatra is portrayed in movies from the 50s? Like, that's what I like to do with an old blunt piece of coal, you know? And she's like, maybe try taking your eye makeup off and using a little, like, lighter hand. And I was like, well, touche, my friend.
Men really like it when you glob it on.
That's how I feel. And I feel women. Like the world is my stage and people should see me from the back row. Anyway, so then we have the hometown dates, right?
Can I just say one more thing about Caitlin sending Ben H. home?
Yes, of course. I know it's near to your heart. I just gotta let it out.
And we'll talk about our predictions later. Because I feel that it's just a Nick runaway, that Nick has come on and ruined the show and, like, bastardized everything that we hold near and dear about The Bachelorette, like, I just feel like she's gonna marry Nick.
Well, if she doesn't, she's not just disappointing us. She's also disappointing his whole family.
Yeah. Well, somebody's family's gonna get disappointed. But, because I believe that she's going to end up marrying Nick anyway, and I think that in her heart and mind, like, that's the plan all along, I felt like it was such a dramatic gesture to not have the final two be Ben H. and Nick, since I feel like she's gonna send Sean home. But I guess it's not a foregone conclusion, and I guess she does have real feelings for Sean. I just don't believe them.
I disagree. Sean is my vote.
Like, I feel like, I mean, like, she says that she wants, like, a romantic love that will last forever and, like, a real husband, but then she picks, like, the two men that hate each other, like, to pit it out at the end. I just feel like it's a drama queen move.
I don't know. I feel like there's something turned towards Sean after...
I don't get it.
After the hometown dates.
When they kiss, it's gross.
Oh, I don't... Remember how Crystal's kissed? He kissed, like a goat chewing cud.
Yeah, he was the
it's
worst.
It's a farm joke.
Nick said that Caitlin is a good kisser, and when they kiss, I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Tim's a really good kisser.
Wait, are you talking about Tim or Ben H? Tim. Okay. Sorry.
I mean, Tim is the person that I have to go home to at night that I'm thinking about Ben H.
Tim Sam's a good kisser.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, I mean, I'm going to wait until after we've been together for a while, because I don't kiss.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like, all you guys do is, like, just fuck, like, surreptitiously while you're, like, behind a, between a partition or something.
It's like the Jew thing.
It's like you own a glory hole.
We cut a hole in a sheet.
You know, that's a Mormon thing.
I lay it. Jews do it, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I knew that because the only way I know about it is from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Because Larry David's like...
Also, geez Louise.
Oh, this is from trying to scale a fence at my job. She's pointing at the... No, it's true. She's pointing at my many, many bruises on my inner thighs.
Oh,
yeah,
some inner thigh bruises shaped like handprints, which we all know, like...
Megan, again, I want to, like, just remind you about just boundaries when it comes to the things that you just decide to bring up on the podcast while we're talking, not scripted. She's just, like, looking at my body and like, oh, God.
No, like, no. I'm impressed.
She's acting like they're sex wounds, and I'm pretending like it's from a fence, but no, it really is. Like, I put a key in somebody's deadbolt, and it locked the deadbolt, but then it turned out that that wasn't actually the key that worked, so it was, like, a crazy anomaly. So, long story short, those fucking pugs were locked in the apartment, and I had to do everything I could to save them. So I scaled this fence in the middle of the night that was not, like, it was a metal fence that was designed to not be scaled, right? Like a
How did you do it?
I just fucking, like, it was like American Ninja Warrior, which is a direct competitor with The Bachelorette. Like, it's on at the same time.
Oh, really? TV. I've never heard of it.
I
guess I see which show wins.
It's on Sunday and Monday night, so I've seen the Sunday night version of it, but anyway, like, they do, it's like American Gladiator style, like, crazy athletic feats, and that's how I felt. It was like I was up on this fence, and like I was trying to like swing over to the other side, and I was like, one false move and this fence could like impale my genitals and like kill me. Like, God. It was like really
like a virgin suicide's fence post
situation. Yeah, it was like fucked up. I should not have been doing it. And then I scaled the fence, and then I figured there was only like a 50% chance, like 20% chance that I hadn't locked the sliding door and I could get in, and I couldn't even get in, so it was all for naught. Like,
so what did you do?
I had to call a locksmith, and I had to pay for it.
Oh, shit.
That's terrible. Yeah.
I see why you don't want to talk about work.
I hate that job so much. I'm covered in bruises, and, like, I hate working for rich people.
I'm sorry, I tried to make light of your bruises.
Oh, God. Maybe we should edit this out. Let's get back to
this. No, they do look salacious, and that's why.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah. So now I have to tell this longboarding story about how happened.
All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
So, the hometown dates were bizarre because we didn't actually...
Yeah,
they didn't go to a hometown. They were like, hotel. It's like, oh, hometown dates equals Holiday Express dates.
Let's talk about where these men are from briefly. Nick is just from Wisconsin, somewhere in Wisconsin, right?
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. Like, he's like a software salesman in Wisconsin. It's like, because he was like, it's boring. I live in Wisconsin, whatever. I'm not Hollywood. Uh-huh. And then Sean lives in Windsor Locks, Connecticut.
I want to pull up a little bit of stats on Windsor Locks. I'm curious.
I looked it up on Wikipedia. I assumed that it was just like Ritzy McRitzville. Like, he's just like this blonde that wears like perfect clothes and is just like, I'm a personal trainer in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. But it's actually
I forget that that part of the East Coast is real. Like, I forget that that's a state. You know? It's just.
The median income in Windsor Locks, Connecticut, I was expecting was like $1 million, but it's like. Like $40,000 or something. Like, it's so it didn't really impress me. There's like a covered wagon, like, or no, one of those, what's it called when the bridges are covered bridges?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when people that like, oh, I like to look at the leaves change.
Yeah, covered bridges. I'm sure it's one of those awesome towns.
Kind of like New Hampshire, where I went to McDowell. That place was like, I forget what the name of the city was, Petersburg or something like that.
I really want to go to McDowell one day.
That dream can come true. They take, like, 10% of admittance, but, I mean, like, you know, I got in, you can do it. I mean, I was gonna say her name, but that other, like, we've known some people that have been there, they're not better than us, so she can get in. Alright, fucking hometown dates, not hometown. Like,
not hometown, weird park, like, Park City, Utah or something, some kind of, like, place in... Why do I say Park City? It's not what it is.
Is that what they just, like,
Anyway, they're in Utah.
I didn't know that they were in Utah. I thought they were. Yeah, just they went back
from Ireland to Utah. And I can't remember why they're in Utah even, but yeah, so they're back there.
I saw some people on Twitter speculating that it was because like the show was just like a train wreck this season and like budgetarily they couldn't go home, but I think it was probably more of a time scheduling thing.
Yeah.
Than that, like they were just like, oh well, we have to bang.
I don't think the budget is really the problem.
I can't imagine that they don't have a budget.
It's like, oh, we have to cut the corners on going to Wisconsin.
Yeah,
like Hartford or wherever.
Flying the entire family to Utah. Seems
running
like,
those horses in Ireland was
the 3 weeks
they broke the bank, so we're gonna cut some corners.
They rented a goddamn castle and they can't take them to Windsor Locks, Connecticut.
It seems like it might be cheaper to rent a motel in Wisconsin than it would be to rent where they are.
Yeah.
So I don't think that is. It's just very like, it's very strange because they come in and
it starts with Nick.
Nick, and they start with this very, like, dark, like, 60 Minutes style, like, things haven't been the same since. Like, we're all, and they just show the whole family just weeping.
Yeah, people are crying before they show up, because they're so devastated, they're afraid that Nick is going to get hurt again, because that's what happened on Andy's season.
But it comes across as just, like, perhaps they're just tired of being exploited.
Yeah, just like, God, don't make us go through this again. Yeah, is basically like, what they're saying. She's like 8 years old and she's crying. Like, oh God.
I didn't have any pity for, or any sympathy or empathy for Nick on that part. Like, it felt like he was just.
No.
I saw him as more of a villain where he's just like, come on, guys. You're just going to live in this hotel for a few more days. And the kids are like, let us go to school, big brother. Let us live normal lives. He's like, nope, back to reality TV.
Before then, like, Nick is like, I just want to tell you that I am in love with you. Like, both men have crossed the bridge from I'm falling in love with you to I am in love with you. I didn't realize there was a distinction. I got in trouble with that one time. Like, this guy was like, I just wanted to tell you that I'm falling in love with you. And I was like, cool. And then, like, that night I was like, I love you. He was like, no. Like,
it was a hairy distinction.
I didn't know. I did not know that was a protocol.
Like, I mean, you can watch it on The Bachelorette. Like, I can see myself
falling in love with you.
I can see myself, I can see you in my life. I can see myself falling in love with you. I'm falling in love with you. I love you. Like,
yeah. Yeah, later, Nick, they do this, or Sean, as
or like, it's like, I'm in love with you, too, I love you. Like, it's like a five-step.
I love you so much. That's like, when you say I love you so much, that's like a lot. That's like, you know, that's what you say when you're getting broken up with. But I love you so much. No, there's like, they were doing this teaser throughout the episode where they kept showing a clip of Sean where he said, there's something I have to... Oh, I just want to get this off my chest before this goes any farther. So, like, he says that, and then, like, there's a shot of Caitlin weeping, and we're like, oh, no, what does he say? And it's not a fucking reveal. What he says is, like, I just want to get this off my chest before this goes any farther. Like, I told you that I was falling in love with you. That wasn't the truth, because I am in love with you.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, my God.
That's bullshit.
So we have to listen to this.
Seriously,
bullshit.
The trailers are ridiculous.
They just lie to your fucking face. Yeah. Like, don't lie to me.
I still dream of the day when when Cupcake was actually Chris Harrison, and that was who we saw sobbing, like, as I viewed it in the original trailer. I realize that's convoluted, but no, there's nothing, you cannot gain any knowledge from their projections.
We forgot to mention, before the hometown dates, Sean is leaving Caitlin's room after they've, like, boned on their fantasy suite night, right?
Oh, yeah. So, and Caitlin looks sort of upset. Like, they don't give a lot away about how that went.
Yeah, they're implying. She's just like, okay, I'll see you later. And they hug and leave, and, like, they both look serious, so you don't know whether or not, because she's all like, this is the night where I felt like, put Sean to the test, like, where we see if this is,
if we see how good he is at the sex skills.
So Sean's walking out in sweatpants.
Yeah.
Tapered at the bottom.
Yeah, the same as sweatpants.
That's the consummate, like, I'm going to the fucking gym to work out after
this.
Yeah,
he looks
like,
ridiculous.
Yeah, well, he's a personal trainer.
Like, I'm going to smell like sex, but whatever, I'm going.
I remember Ben H. was also wearing sweats when he left. I feel like they were important. Like, they were like, okay, now dress down when you're leaving because you've spent the night, you know?
Right.
Like,
you gotta...
like, don't put your suit back on.
Wouldn't you love to see, like, the employee handbook?
Yeah. The behind the scenes on this shit. So who's waiting outside for him?
But Nick, like,
he's just like, hey bro, can I talk to you?
But he jumps out of the alley in this perfect, like, it was a Lifetime movie sort of way. Yeah. Like, just going to work, and then it'd be like,
he was just waiting. If you were just outside. Walking,
going back home, and suddenly I was like, hi Molly.
So I'm leaving my girlfriend's house, and then my girlfriend's other boyfriend is waiting for me when I leave. That's what it was like. And so Nick's like, I just want my chance to, like, yell at you and tell you what I don't like about you, because we had that conversation right. earlier. And
you
Sean's
got to
just
do
like,
the yelling. Now it's like, my time.
Fuck you. I don't want to talk to you, which I thought was appropriate.
Yeah.
Sean says, how old is he? He's still acting like a 16-year-old girl. Like, that was he said that to Caitlin earlier.
This big burn.
I thought that was inappropriate. But, so anyway, that happened. But, so hometown dates, Nick... It's Nick, right, for the first one, like, the family's crying.
Yeah.
And this was one of those, like, autistic moments for me, so, like, it seems like it's like, oh, no, like, God, they're, like, not happy. So, like, Caitlin and Nick walk into the room, and, like, it's quiet for a second, and it's still just, like, 60 minutes, and then lighthearted music, so that we know that it's gonna go fine.
Right, yeah. It was not, I mean, regardless of your...
My condition.
Of your psychology. No, it was confusing all around because I was watching it and it's like you have people slumped over in tears. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you pan to that little girl, his like is it his youngest sister or something? Yeah. Who's like, and you'll be my mom, like you'll be my new big sister. They also made some like guarded things about how Andy, like, it wasn't the same with Andy.
Yeah.
And despite like I don't know. Like, I feel like it was pretty much the same with
Andy. It was the same. On all of the hometown dates, they're like, we're skeptical. And then by the end, they're like, it went perfectly, and we want you to marry.
Like, yeah, and I also, like, where in the place I was watching, I ended up pulling up a picture of Andy side by side with Caitlin, and people are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what's happening? Like, they are very, very similar to the shag haircut, the brunette, like...
You mean, like, they just look the same?
They look the same. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They're filling a similar niche. And I guess we've never spoken about that. Like, that Nick's just, like, another brunette with a shag haircut. Like, sign me up.
Caitlin's always like, I never thought I would fall for a guy like Nick. And then, like, his personality is indistinguishable from the other one. Like, what do you mean?
What kind of man did you think
the kind of guy that would, like, be on The Bachelor? Like, that's clearly what you want. So their hometown date goes great. This little 8-year-old, like, they're treating her like she's adorable and charming, and she's, like, awkward and, like, weird and, like, not, like, I don't
get
it.
Oh, I like her. I fell for it. But
I don't get it.
But I don't like that they position her always as, like, a child. He's like, all I want is a big sister and for someone to love my brother for who he is. It's like, come on, kid. Like,
I don't give a fuck. You've got
daytime TV
Mary.
To watch and, like, you know, things to get into.
So we're not sure who's got the three weird brothers. I think it's Nick, but you think it's Sean? It must be Sean.
I think it's Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like...
It doesn't matter who they
it
are.
It is literally like that's like the seven dwarves. Like, they're just all like these weird approximations of each other.
There's
like,
three men.
My three brothers. And like...
Yeah, they're like almost cute, but there's something wrong with all of them. Yeah. And then like, Sean, like, oh, like he got the good genes. Like, we sent him off to Hollywood.
It's sort of, no, it's sort of like, I have three second cousins everybody calls the big boys.
Oh, no.
And their names were Fred, Ed, and,
You should see her face.
Fred, Ed, and David.
Like, play, like, the tragic music while you talk about them.
Well, only one of them is still here with
us
to say.
I was gonna say, God, I'm sorry.
But yeah, Fred, Ed, and David. Like, Fred's still here. He's a good guy.
Well,
but
let's not talk about what happened in the It's horrible.
It was like that, you know? I can't even get into it.
Oh, God. Yeah, one of the brothers looked like it was like he's home from the hospital. Like, here during the show. Like, it seemed like.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to pool our money and send one of our, like, one of our boys to the big time. You know, like, they're like working the mines.
Yeah, Jesus. They're like unevolved. They all look like Joe. Yeah, so I mean, the home dates, they both went perfectly, I guess. Like, they both end with Caitlin making out with the respective man on the couch, like, with him being like, I love you, and I know that she loves me, too.
Like, yeah, there's more upskirt action with Nick, but I feel like her emotional connection is deeper with Sean. Oh, I remembered what the Sean's brothers reminded me of. I saw Zoolander for the first time the other day.
I recently rewatched that.
I'd never seen it before. And the part where he goes back to, like, the West Virginia coal mines to try and work in the mines, he looks all fancy. Like, that is, like, Sean going back to his brothers.
Yeah. He's like, don't embarrass me, you guys.
Anyway, so they're on the couch. I feel like she had more of a emotional thing happening with Sean, but more of a physical thing with Nick.
I think that she likes the drama, and she likes the fact that they hate each other and are pitted against each other. And, I mean, yeah, I think that her thing with Sean is more passionate or something. Like, there's more ups and downs, and that makes it provocative and interesting. But, like, it just, I mean, I'm a veteran of watching the show, and I've never seen a girl act the way that Caitlin does around Nick and, you know, not marry. Like, I don't see anything veering this off course.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that she's going to choose Nick. But what else happens? Okay, so next week she's going to go do her hometown, so they're going to meet her family. And that's, like, the last thing.
Well, next week, I mean,
well, next week is Men Tell All, but I mean,
I mean, I guess that'll be good, right?
Men Tell All? Or?
Yeah, are we still having a special male guest?
I mean, we'll see. I'm going to talk to their agents and, see if we can set something up.
See if we can afford it.
I think that Tim would be a good sport. I haven't talked to Zach in a while, and he hasn't been watching, so,
Will?
I haven't talked to Will in a really long time. I imagine that he's listening to this podcast and just at home fucking brooding. Like, I was thinking about that on the way here. Like, he's, like, probably fucking pissed. He is really pissed off that I'm dating Tim.
Really?
So, yeah, he's like, I pretty much haven't talked to him.
So bringing him in for a Mental All episode would not be the best.
Yeah. It's like either he has been listening and he'll be enraged, or he hasn't been listening and, like, it'll just be awkward and weird. And it's hard to keep him sober long enough to get him to do anything. Like, he'd be like, yeah, I mean, not that we're teetotalers.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was mean. I took it to a dark place. I'm sober. That was not necessary.
No, I mean, yeah.
But no, not him.
Bringing in a special guest for the Mental All, it's a delicate situation.
Jesse moved back to Seattle, so we can call him.
Oh yeah. My god.
My crazy ex-boyfriend just happens to be living back in the same city as me. I have to say,
bringing him in to speak about this show is probably not the best idea.
Bringing him into, like, a room without, like, a cop present is
uncomfortable. No. I can't see being like, so how do you feel about how the men reacted, you know? He and I have a bit of a tangled, we're hot and cold, let's say.
He doesn't do well with subservient things. Like, he would have to take over the podcast. Like, he can't just be like a special guest. Zach and Tim could do it, so we'll see.
All right.
Sean and Caitlin's kisses are sick and gross. We already talked about that. I'm just reading my notes right now. They both are, like, disappointed that she didn't say I love you to them.
She's not, like, really allowed to, right?
It's like, not that she's not allowed to, it's just really never been done. You wait until the end to say it, so.
Yeah, I've had that moment a lot when I, like, hook up with people or whatever in the past where it's like you can feel yourself being like, I want to say it, and, like, you have to have the voice in the back of your head that's like, don't do it yet, you know, like,
yep.
do not do that, like, you can't come back from that, really.
So my new policy is to never, ever betray how I feel to any man, ever. Just bottle it up, man. You just gotta keep it down inside. Put it down, you just
carry, like, a tamping stick to, like, cool.
Because in my experience, no man ever thinks about me as much as I obsess about them. Like, I'm just like, I mean, and if
that's
they
not
do,
true.
And if they do, I don't like them.
Yeah, no, that's I what like I mean. Them. It's not that. It is the catch-22 of, like, there are plenty of men who have thought about you more than you think about them, but, like, those aren't the men you want.
No, those are the weird ones. Yeah. Ooh, you want the ones that,
So, it's not that you aren't finding them, it's that the ones who are, like, they're like, Molly. Molly, Molly. Those are not the less.
Let me give you two examples of me and Tim on this vein. So, like, the other night, I think it was after watching, it must have been after we came home from watching The Bachelorette at Jen's house. Like, we had sex, and then after I was like, what do you think? Don't ever ask what they're thinking. I was like, what are you thinking about? And he was like...
I ask that to people constantly.
I do it all the time, and now it's, like,
friends,
become a joke.
Others. I was like, what are you thinking? Tell me something.
I was like, what are you thinking about? And he was like, Caitlin's back. Like, oh, man, Caitlin's back.
Shut up! Really?
Yeah. What a bad man. And then another...
What did you say?
I was like, yep, it's pretty good. Like, yep, it looks good in those dresses. I mean, like,
She does backless
he
well.
Tenderly made love to me and was very, like, attentive and, like, sweet, and I don't think that he was thinking about Caitlin the whole time. Right. This was, like, after, you know?
No, I think that's pretty amazing.
I guess it's okay. And then later, like, another time in, like, a nearly identical situation, but it was, like... This is too much information, but, like, he finished, and, like, I was trying to finish, and, like, he's laying there next to me, and I'm like, what are you thinking about? And he's like, football. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. I was like, just get out of here. Like, leave the room. So I had to, you know.
Did he leave?
Yeah, he left the room. I didn't.
What?
I finished business. I don't need some dude thinking about football when I'm trying
to... I know, but he should have snapped back into, like...
I don't disagree that,
sexy,
like,
talk at that point.
I feel like he should have stayed with it and been present for the entire act as well, but, you know, they're not always... They don't always do that. I don't know what to say. Anyway.
Oh, Lord, football. I do hate that, though. Like, I feel like that happens to me a lot, where I'll be like, what are you thinking about? And in my mind, it's like, ah, oh, the nature of, you know, love, or this and that. And, like, you know, regardless of even who it is, like, I receive answers, they're like, no, I was thinking about if the shoe store is open, like, on Saturdays, and, like, X, Y, and Z. And it's like, stop being so literal. Like, when I ask that, I want to know, like, emotional thoughts. I don't necessarily want to know exactly.
I remember I was dating this guy years ago, and if I had met him today, I would have married him, but it was, like, we were too young, and, like, we had, like, a year of bliss, and then, like, 6 months of me feeling like I wanted something more, and I didn't want to marry my first boyfriend, and I wanted to leave Michigan, and I wasn't happy, and, you know, like, I just, like, there was nothing wrong with him, but I was just feeling really, like, suffocated and trapped. So, like, it was always on my mind, and I think he could tell, and he would be like, what are you thinking about? So every time he asked me, what are you thinking about, the answer would be like, breaking up with you.
Really?
So, like, yeah, it was crazy. And I always had to come up with some other thing that I was thinking
about. Oh, I thought you meant you actually said it.
No, I'm not an asshole. No, he would be like, what are you thinking about? And I'd be like, I was thinking about, like, Schindler's List. You know, like, I had to come up with something else. So.
He's like, why is this woman so into Holocaust movies?
So naturally, when I ask other people, I always imagine that, like, they too are thinking about something that they don't actually want to tell me. And
yeah,
then
I feel that way.
With Tim, I really think he really was just thinking about football, and I think he really was thinking about Caitlin's back when I asked him. Like, it was very honest. Okay, ready for the perfect letter?
I didn't mean to distract by that, but I feel like we're nearing the end of our hour, and I think it's important that we, as in the old time radio programs, that we keep you up to date. We read the first two paragraphs of the perfect letter last week, and now we'll move on to the second two.
So if you remember, it doesn't matter.
No, if you remember, Lee Merrill had lots of male friends, couldn't find a perfect one, and now she found a perfect rich one who liked Thai food, concerts, the Times crossword.
They ate lox, yeah.
Lox and bagels. Ooh, good memory, Molly.
I remember the lox.
Their friends said they seemed like the perfect match.
I listened to our podcast several times.
Just masturbating wildly.
Remind me, I want to workshop a couple of things you said before we conclude, but go ahead and read the paragraph.
So their friends said they seemed like a perfect match. Yet, thank you, Chris Harrison, for this that we are about to partake in. Yet, when Joseph stood up at the launch party for Lee's latest book, tapped the side of his wine glass with his butter knife and announced that he had something important to say, a very special question he needed to ask. She felt her whole body go stiff. He wouldn't, she thought. Not now. Not here. In front of everyone. She started to suspect he might have something planned when the launch party for The Perfect Letter had been announced. Oh, this is super meta. He's, like, named the book within the book.
Oh.
The Perfect Letter. Mm. For some reason, he'd been especially attentive to all the details, choosing the venue, the food, the guest list, fussing over organic versus free-range, raw milk versus pasteurized. All for a book that wasn't even his. So now the launch party for a high-profile novel was taking place in an impossibly romantic restaurant in an outdoor garden lit with paper lanterns, hung with purple wisteria and mounds of vanilla orchids, over tables piled with Italian cheeses and garganelle nero in a Chilean tarragon sauce. I have no idea what that is. Violin music played in the background. I don't feel like you're enjoying this.
I'm just gonna keep doing it. No.
The violin music played in the background. The tables were covered with empty wine and martini glasses, and the guests were already a little drunk, so that everyone was falling into chairs, draping their arms around each other affectionately. The author of The Perfect Letter, Richard Millikan, so famous and so reclusive that this book, his first in 30 years, was already near the top of the bestseller list its first week, was not present.
Wishful thinking.
I know, right? Wait, is she an... She's an editor? Yeah, she's an editor. This is some Harper Lee throwback shit, but, like, in a ripped-off, cheapened way. So, in a sense, it had become Lee's party, her colleagues coming up to congratulate her with a mixture of envy and pride on the biggest publishing coup this side of J.D. Salinger. Bold move, Chris. Even Randall Jenks, one of the founders of the publishing house and Lee's biggest fan, had come for the celebration, though Randall was famous for claiming he detested gatherings of more than four people. Still, he kept plying Lee with martinis, telling her in his posh London accent to enjoy her success, that she'd earned it, that a book of this magnitude would make the house a fortune, both in sales and literary heft. "I still don't know how you talked Millikan into it," he said. "Had it on good authority, he'd never publish again. His authority." "I learned from the best," said Lee, holding up her glass in Randall's direction. "That you did, and I should warn you, I'm susceptible to flattery," he patted her arm. "I have great plans for you, young lady. Keep up the good work." Lee had to smile. No one had called her young lady since her grandfather had died. She hadn't realized how much she'd missed it.
Boring.
We're getting there. It's picking up. By the end of the second year of this podcast, we will have made it to the end of chapter two. Anyway, any other final stuff that we talk about this
week?
There
was just one thing that you said last week that I didn't get a chance to answer. You said that marijuana was the least sexy drug. I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You can, like, you know, like, you hit it, and then you can, like, blow it in their face.
Oh, yeah, the shotgunning thing. That's the only way that I smoke weed.
And also, like,
But, like, the effect
of it. That's how you get dog's high, too.
But the taking of it, the blowing it, like, I really only like shotgunning it, because I think it's romantic, but the effect of it doesn't...
I think it gets you less high, but...
Well, probably, but, like, if you're super... I don't know, I don't associate being high with feeling connected or sexual to people.
Remember in Annie Hall when, like, they're, like, Diane Keaton and Woody Allen are about to have sex, and then she's like, "Well, let me get some grass," and he's like, "Oh, man."
It's like, "Why do you always need this grass?"
And what? She's like, "I need it." Like,
I think it has to... I also think it just has to
that's
do
how
with
I
the
feel
fact
about,
that...
like, getting out of bed in the morning.
Just need I also some grass. Think, like, it is somehow, like, a specific to people. Like, I've never been good at it. It doesn't make me feel good. And it obviously makes other people feel good. Well, all the other drugs make me feel good, though. All of the others. The smorgasbord of intoxicants. And
you're like, meth is a sexy drug.
I know. Nothing sexier than
puffing.
Fill that paper bag again. Let's hit it. Is that a spray paint can in your pocket?
Nope, I'm just happy to see you. And it's a spray paint can.
Two pairs.
Anyway, we gotta wrap it up. We're running late.
Any news you got this week?
No,
that wasn't
a
proper sentence, but...
Nothing going on. MollyLeach.com, DogHatesFilm.com.
MeganNicoleCruz.com. Thank you all for joining us. Turn on the motherfucking fan. It's hot up here.
Goodbye.
Bye.